At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
So David asked God, not give me my family back, restore my city, bring me back my stuff, God. No, God, shall I pursue them? That's sort of important. If I do, will I be victorious? It is important to note what David did not ask. God, why me? What did I do to deserve this? No, he might have done something what you and I can look at. Lying to the kings, probably, you know, to King Achish, probably not a good idea. And he doesn't ask who's responsible for it. Who let their guard down? No. What happened to the guard I left behind? That is not the point here. The point is, God, what do you want me to do now? You should be familiar with this. I have preached that before. Do you want me to? David first assumes God is wanting him to do something. Is this what you want me to do? If so, am I going to be victorious? Come on, think about that for a minute. Here's the other option. God, do you want me to pursue? Yes, but I might not win. David left that option open. Do you want me to pursue? We would automatically think pursue means win. But David says, do you want me to do this? And when I do this, will I be victorious? And God promises him that he will recover all. And David's, of course, response to that is, so David went. And Jesus' word is like this. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. The storms come along, wipe it out. Wise man puts his house upon the rock. Storms come. This is like the man who hears my word and does them. It's like the man who built his house upon the rock. David knew this. If God spoke, that meant I do. Not 20 questions later, I do. So this is basically what it comes down to. David trusted in God and His Word. On Wednesday nights, man, that, you know, this was the last week, but we were getting at some pretty practical things in there, and we have to ask ourselves our question as we look at the Word of God. Do I trust? The reason we often don't is because we don't trust. We don't really believe God meant it when He said it. So there's a particular very large denomination in the United States that's considering, I'm saying it, compromising on a scriptural stance they've had since they've began. They've looked at culture and decided maybe it's time to have a woman lead the church. Did God really say? Did God really say? They got all kinds of excuses. Well, lead in a denomination is not a church. Well, then go to the IRS and say, we're not a church, and see what happens. They'll take your 501c3. You'll claim to be a church real quick. But do you really believe when God said that woman shouldn't teach and have authority of a man in the church that God really meant that? Do you really trust that? Well, but you don't understand. I got gifts, I got talent, says the lady. I understand that. I know. You might have a leader like Saul. Now what? God says, I establish all authority. Now what? David's going, no. I trust God and his word, therefore I act on his word. God said, pursue. God said, I'll be victorious. That's enough for me. Notice my little note up there, though. If you don't get an answer, wait. See, Saul didn't get an answer, and he didn't wait, and he went looking for another one. Abraham couldn't see. He got an answer and couldn't see the answer, so he didn't wait, and he got an Ishmael, and that's still a problem to this day. Just go to Gaza and find out. Okay. So we seek God, and then we respond to what God said. We do. That's one of the ways God moves us to victory in the midst of defeat. Next, don't get hung up by those who can't finish the fight with you. That gets discouraging when people leave. It gets very discouraging when you thought people were in it with you till the end, and along the way somewhere they go, man, I can't do it. Okay? Here we find that David went out with 600 men, but they come to this brook. By the time this is way up north. So by the time they get up there, about east of the Sea of Galilee, from all the way down at Ziklag, by the time they get there, 200 guys says, man, I'm too beat. The fight has exhausted me. I can't do it. But I thought you were in this with me, man. I thought you had my back to the end. You thought when he said, until death do us part, you thought he meant it. Yeah, that brings it home a little bit, doesn't it? Young person, child, and you thought mommy and daddy were always going to be there, but then the divorce came. That leaves scars for years. When people you think were in it to finish the fight with you say, I can't do it anymore. David didn't get hung up on that. He said, oh, man, we're okay, guys, well, I guess we'll just stop here then. I guess this is for, I'm just going to accept this as the way it, no, that ain't what David does. Here, you got to recognize there's going to be setbacks even when you're in the will and plan of God. There will still be what we see as setbacks. You know, maybe you go down, God says, no, this many is too much. Let me cut you down to 200, to 300, whatever, you know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. Or maybe nobody's a, well, we'll come back to that. So David stayed with the plan that God had given him. And it goes on to say, these guys quit, but David pursued. Fine, I understand that. And some of you have heard me teach on the type of relationships that you have and recognize in different places at different times people got to leave you. So these guys left. Let the Lord provide you with the next step. Okay, they've left. That leaves me wanting. So that means maybe the right flank, the left flank, one of these places is going to be exposed when we fight. Well, maybe half those guys that left are the archers. Not the Archies, those of us old enough remember that. The archers. Or maybe those are or the horsemen, the cavalry. Maybe that's who they are, but he recognizes that that's going to leave them. But you know what, God? I'm leaving up to you to figure out how this is going to work with 200 left guys. Expect. God brings the victory out of defeat when we expect God to show up. There's a word for that, a good religious word for that. Called faith. Not faith in my belief. Faith in the first part. God said it. God will do it. 200 could leave. It doesn't matter. I don't know what the next step, but I don't know how this is going to work out with 200 less guys. I don't know how this is going to work out. But God, you said it. I'm in. He's expecting God to do something. Maybe even if he's just walking across the creek, picking up some stones. He's expecting God to do something. And so I like to call often these come through divine appointments. Now they found an Egyptian in the field, in ASB. This Egyptian wasn't exactly a warrior. Oh, good. This guy is strong enough. He could take the other 200 guys' place. You know, he's an amazing shot with a bow. He's an amazing horseman. No, this is a guy who's so weak because he hasn't ate food or water for 3 days. And it's my understanding, I'm not a medical person, but 3 days without water is about as far as you can go. Food's another story. And some of us probably should, but water. So they find a guy in the field. He's probably, I'm not standing up shouting, waving his arm, I'm over here. God brings victory out of defeat when we minister to others in our need. Okay, and they brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate and provided him water, and he drank and gave him. Then it describes what he gave him, and his spirits were revived. I want you to understand, as they know it right now, they find an Egyptian who's in physical need. They don't know who he is. They're not fighting Egyptians. All they know is he was a lost, hungry, thirsty guy. That's all they know when they help him. They just know, now look at this. It's my wife. Imagine one of these guys here. It's my wife. It's my children that the bad guys have, and you know what they do to wives and children, right? And they stop, they find a guy, and they take the time to feed him and give him water. Enough time that he recovers. How much time does that take? I don't know. I don't imagine it happened in 10 minutes. You know what I'm saying? If you've ever seen anybody with dehydration, now today they put an IV in and you can come back relatively quickly. But just drinking the water and getting it absorbed back in your system, I'm not sure how long that takes. But one of the ways God brings victory in defeat is that we minister to others in our time of need. You need to understand this when you're trying to move from victory to defeat. God can use anyone or anything. Here they find an Egyptian who's weak and tired. That ain't what they're looking for. They need soldiers. They need mighty men. Not somebody it's obviously a slave by what David says. Means he doesn't have his own army. And he's weak and hungry. And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of the Amalekites. Stop. You took my wife's my kid's been taken by the Amalekites. And look what he says here. We made a raid on. And that included Ziklag. Yeah, feed you nothing, stab you with the sword, maybe. I mean, nothing will get me more indignant. You hurt and take my kids? I found out I just fed you? I'm not sure I wish I would have. That's me. I'm sure you're all more spiritual than I am. Wait a minute. We're hunting down guys, we find somebody that needs some help, and we find out he's the enemy. Or at least a servant of the enemy. Think about who the enemy really is. And you help minister to a servant of the enemy. That might mean they actually belong to a different political party. Just saying. That might mean they may be the neighbor next door that's always selling drugs and having wild parties, maybe. Next door, been driving you nuts for 2 years, wishing they'd quit throwing their beer cans in your yard. Maybe it's that other person at work that's always got a filthy joke, defames religion and Christianity all the time. So they find out he's a slave that belongs to one of the Amalekites. Because David asked him, who are you? And who do you belong to? Where'd you come from? That tells you David didn't know. They didn't find him. Go, oh, look what we found. We found a guy that can help us. No. He didn't know. Okay, God brings victory out of defeat. You got to understand, God can restore all that the enemy has taken. Please take this out of the physical realm. I'm not talking about your stuff. Yeah, in this story, it's David's physical family, physical livestock. I want you to take it past that. I want you to take it to your spiritual and emotional loss. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand what was taken from me when I was five. You don't understand what I lost when she left me. You don't understand, Pastor. And I ain't talking about stuff. God can restore all that the enemy has taken. I don't just mean eyesight either. I say that from my own. I want you to take note of this. And they said, "This is David's spoil." Take note of that. God brings victory through defeat when he acknowledges every step of the journey is part of God's plan. Look what David does with David's spoil. He gives 200 of the people who quit. He gives stuff to the 200 that quit. The other guy saying, no, you can read it. No, they didn't go fight with us. They left us. And David said, yeah, even they were part of God's plan. And then he gives to the elders of the cities of Judah and lists the cities, all the places where David and his men had roamed. Just by letting him run around in the wilderness, in their area, not in their towns, in their cities, not in their hotels with Wi-Fi, and room service. Just roaming in the wilderness, you read about the wilderness of this place and the wilderness of that place. And he says, wait a minute. I recognize God was there even in these wilderness places. I recognize that in some places they narked on me. But the places it didn't, I know you thought it was you. Well, it was God, and I got to give back to that. See, his recognition is this. He's not just given to these kings of Judah, not just given to these 200 guys because he wants to butter them up. He's doing it in recognition of this. All that I got back is God's to begin with. The glory belongs to God. I can't hang on to it, and I'm going to give it as recognition that God was there at each point. God brings victory out of defeat when we recognize that that he is the enemy of God, not ours. Did you catch me? The reason he was our enemy is because he's the enemy of God first. For we battle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, spiritual and high places. Lucifer rebelled against God, not against me. He just comes to Adam and Eve to sort of kind of get vengeance, if he wants to get even, if you will. At God. See, his goal, his desire is still to this day to defeat God and take his place. That is still Satan's goal. He knows that part of that has to be, if he was going to win, he's dumb enough to think so. He has to defeat the church first. And I talked about this on Wednesday night, though, 1966. There's a rebellion in China. Young people by the thousand put on red bands, and they're going to bring a new revolution. They start tearing down the churches and burning the Christian seminaries 50 years ago. See, Satan is stupid. He hadn't figured out, because today China is the biggest group of Christians on the planet. Wait a minute. You mean God brought victory through defeat? I'll give you another example later. Since the enemy... See, and David actually says, from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. It doesn't say the enemies of David, does it? These are spoils from the enemy of the Lord that David gives away. Therefore, if the enemy is the Lord, God is responsible for and gets the glory for the outcome. That is hard to accept. That's part of the faith part, the trust part. God's responsible for the outcome. Yeah, but I have my idea of what the outcome should look like. My idea of what restoration should look like, the restoring of my stuff, I have an idea what that should look like. But remember, if the enemy's God's, enemy. God's the one that's doing the fight and responsible for the outcome and therefore gets the glory. And if it, can anybody tell me when David said this? The Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Anybody know when he says that? The chapter should help you. Yes, he's walking out to face Goliath. See, when he won the things, when he recognized the battle was God's, that's a sure way that he's going to move from defeat to victory. But when we think it's ours, when we think we can come up with a better idea, when we think we have the answer without God, and maybe we seek our own witch of Endor, not the word of God, I go some kind of spiritualism and I get to hear a voice and get the eebie-jeebies. Where are we going to know what God said? The word of God. That's where we're going to know what's going to say. And we just did one of those this morning. I will never leave you. It doesn't matter. You can write in Psalms 22, my God, why have you forsaken? I'm sorry, it can't happen. You may feel that way. Jesus even felt that way maybe on the cross as he quoted Psalms 22. But if you go on in Psalms 22, but I didn't forsake you. He cannot. If he turned his back on his own son, the world would collapse. The universe would cease to be. Just moving that on. The battle is the Lord's. He's responsible for the outcome, and therefore he gets the glory. So I will send the spoils of the Lord to other people so they know it's God who did this. Oh, is that it? No. Oh, yeah. The hard part for us to understand is God was there when Ziklag was attacked to start with. God was in the loss. Because in the next chapter, Saul dies, and God's preparing David to take over, but David doesn't know Saul's going to die. But even in that loss, in that moment of deep depression, even on the greatly distressed time of David, when his own guys wanted to kill him, God was out there too. That was even part of God's plan. I think sometimes we don't recognize God's presence because we don't understand what's happened, how it fits in God's plan. But see, if I could understand it, I wouldn't need faith. I can see it, touch it, feel it, understand it. I don't need faith for that. Part of the other problem, I think, is perhaps you're not there. Perhaps you're saying, man, I'm not on that part. I am lost. I'm on the victory side. I'm on the upside of this. Well, you need to understand this then. What's been recovered is not yours. If you don't at least return a portion of it, and I'm not talking money, to God, I'll leave that to your imagination. But I want you to imagine this. Early church, Book of Acts, Pentecost has come. Amazing things are happening in the church. Early church, but the Jews have had enough of this. There's an early evangelist. His name was Stephen. Now, remember, they were mad enough to stone David. They got mad enough where they did stone Stephen. This was, I want you to understand, to see God taking loss, taking defeat to victory. Watch this. Excuse me. Here, hold my coat. Let me grab a rock. Boom! Another guy. Can I put my purse here, ladies? You know who that is? Who they're giving their purse to? Who they're handing their coat to? A guy named Saul. Stephen's replacement. The guy who writes most of the New Testament. Wait a minute, God. Right there, while they're so angry, they're stoning Stephen. You've already got away. You thought Stephen preached. You thought Stephen was an evangelist. Wait till you see Paul. He covers most of the then known world with the gospel. He preaches to kings, governors, plants churches in how many cities? Here, hold my coat so I can throw a rock at this guy. Nobody there had a clue. But Stephen looks up into the heavens and sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, ready to welcome him, and says this, "Father, forgive them, because they don't get it." They don't understand when you take one of God's people to defeat, you have set him up for victory. When you have attacked the church to tear it down, whether in China or the United States, when you tear it down, God says, watch what I will do with your brokenness. Watch what I will do with disaster. Because I will never leave you or forsake you. And no plan of God can be thwarted by any man with a stone or a pen, like writing, with a temper. God can take all the loss you have had and restore it. And I believe one of the reasons Stephen could say what he said, because they don't understand God. They think they're stopping something. When they call you and say, we're sending you to collections, I know they think they're stopping something. Not they, the guy that's calling you. I'm talking about the enemy of the Lord, who wants to get you defeated, distracted, disappointed, disillusioned, and discouraged. He's coming along with you. If you do that, you won't pursue. You'll be so distracted by your loss, the struggle, and the fight, you won't pursue. You won't pursue the battle and the victory because it's too hard. I've had enough. I quit. I'm filing bankruptcy. Now, sometimes I understand there are situations, all right? Situations. But most bankruptcies aren't that way. I want you to understand, whatever the battle is, whatever the battle is, let's say you're Stephen. Can you say, he thinks he's stopping something. The battle is the Lord's. He's responsible for the outcome, and he gets the glory.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.